I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541. Shitty U-turn on the freeway, you turn me from a fiend to a way to you find. I can wait in the sun for a little, but it's been real gray, and tonight it's an icy one. I can wait in the cold for a while if the reasons are plenty, but right now I see none.
I completely understand that a lot of the punditry is just for clicks, but Rex Ryan hopping on TV last week and saying, out of every team in the NFL in the playoffs, the team everyone should want to play was the Kansas City Chiefs because they're overrated, stiffs. Mahomes is broken. And I was like, I get it. It's a hot take world. I totally get it. Do you see who's in the playoffs?
Also worth noting, Rex Ryan calling anybody overrated is hilarious.
Well, my thought was that he was like auditioning for like another job, like a coaching job. He's like, hey, get my name out there. Kansas City is the worst team in the playoffs.
So
Am I right, guys? Am I right?
So I have something else to say about Rex Ryan. Before I do that, welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. Thank you everybody for listening to the movie podcast. We appreciate it. That was a lot of fun to do. We're going to do another one tonight, so look out for that. Yeah. So
we got over three listeners.
At least, I mean, we had like three like comments in response to it, right?
Okay. All
right. or King got a text. I think that's good enough. We'll take it. Okay, so Rex Ryan, so you have seen him because you heard him talk about your team. Like, Ski, have you seen Rex Ryan lately?
I'm trying to remember. He lost a bunch of weight, didn't he? Or is that like years ago by now?
Yeah, that was like years ago. Like, people forget about Rex Ryan. Like, do you remember the Hard Knock season where they did his team and we all found out that he really liked his wife's feet? Like in that whole
thing. that was like 6 or 7 years ago, wasn't it?
More than that, I think.
Yeah.
So
I have not seen him in the recent few.
He reminds me of Ron White. That's the comedian, right? Ron White. Yeah. Ron White, but like whiter teeth.
His veneers are
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He didn't actually get them until like October of this year.
Man, they are.
But he had veneers. He's had veneers for a couple of seasons. He got new veneers in like the beginning of October, and he looks like Mr. Ed.
Surface of the sun, dude.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is it like not a long game, probably something about Mary? Remember, he gets the big ass fake teeth. Are they huge too? Or
yes.
Are they just whiter?
Yes.
Shit? Yeah,
yes.
They are big too. Yeah. All right.
Yes. That's, right. And his hair's white too. So like his hair matches his teeth. It's unbelievable. Like everybody listening right now, like Google Rex Ryan, like 2022
teeth.
And just it's unbelievable.
It's unreal. And when he was going on this little rant about how everyone should want to play Kansas City, I was like, whatever. But my God, man. Are you gargling bleach before these takes? Like, I know they're hot takes, but my gosh, man. Just cut it down a bit.
Was this take just on the Chiefs in general or that the Steelers were actually going to beat them?
It was in general that every team should want to play the Chiefs in round one because they are the worst team in the NFL.
Anybody who said the Steelers were going to beat the Chiefs should lose their job.
There were a few people.
They should lose their job.
So insane.
Like, unbelievable.
I think Kansas City could lose on Sunday. I do.
To Buffalo? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no concern last Sunday.
So real quick, we should talk. The only thing we really should hit today is the Travis Dye thing. But I want to talk a lot about the NFL, like, because that weekend, like the games were mostly terrible. Like it was odd because there were blowouts with the exception of the Niners and Cowboys, and the Bengals and Raiders. They were all blowouts.
Like, well, this is what happens when now you have a playoffs where usually a team that shouldn't make the playoffs at all is in, and a team that should have a first round bye has to play a game.
Yeah.
You know, right. There was no reason for that Chiefs-Steelers game to even happen.
The Eagles should not have been Eagles, in the playoffs.
Yeah, Eagles-Tampa, yeah. Same exact thing.
Those
games, I don't like the expansion. The extra games are obviously nice, I guess. That was a good Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
It was. It really
a
was.
A lot of football on. But not if, I mean, it's like what's going to happen with college football, I guess. If they expand it out, you're going to have these kind of games in the first round. It's just going to be.
Alabama dumping on a 15 seed.
Exactly. Yeah,
pretty much. So you are you nervous about the Bills? It was interesting because I was thinking about you when I watched, you know, Josh Allen throw those five touchdowns, and I'm like, okay, they're going to play the Chiefs. And then you see Mahomes come out and throw five touchdowns. You see the Chiefs, you see Kelce throw a touchdown. You see Mahomes throw a touchdown to an offensive lineman. And it's like, oh,
Jerick McKinnon scoring two touchdowns?
Oh my God. The Chiefs are good right now. Like, if these guys are doing these things, like the Chiefs, I think they're going to be okay. Cause I don't trust the Bills. I don't know how you could trust the Bills. Like, Josh Allen is a freak athlete. But if he goes against a good team and a defense that's playing as well as the Chiefs defense is playing,
was it 2 years ago where Josh Allen was like the worst quarterback in football?
Yes.
Was it only two years ago?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's the prodigal son, you know, the new hotness.
I get it. I sound whiny, persecuted, you know, really good team fan guy. I sound like a Warriors fan. I do get it. I understand. But the difference in, like, just how people react to Josh Allen throwing five touchdowns versus Mahomes throwing five touchdowns, and he was, like, a centimeter away from it being six if Hill's elbow just hits the white. It's insane. And I don't think the Steelers are good. That's not my point. I don't think the Patriots are particularly good either, but whatever.
No, they're not.
They both played extremely, extremely well, but the way it's covered, and again, I know what I sound like, but Mahomes is getting that LeBron treatment where it's like they'll throw a graphic up. Wow, he is scoring more points more efficiently with more rebounds and more assists than any year since 2012. And then they'll be like, but he's ninth best player in the league.
Right.
I think Ja Morant is better than LeBron. You know, it's just, I get it. Flavor of the month. And I know I sound bad.
Well, no, I think I have an answer to this because it's all everybody who analyzes the NFL right now. They're all our age. Like, they all grew up in the 90s. They have 90s nostalgia for the Bills. Like, the Bills haven't been good since then. And so they want the Bills to be good. They're like, oh, so the Bills, they have these quirky borderline racist fans who like to jump on tables and, you know, do all this crazy stuff.
Throw
dildos on the field. Like, people enjoy watching the Bills and sort of want them to be better than they are. That's how it works.
See, are you brought that up though. Are you not wanting them to blow it? Like, cause that's what we grew up on, was the Bills choking and blowing it, right?
My 90s nostalgia wants me to watch them blow it.
Exactly. So I don't get it when you say, you know, that the pundits are our age. They witness that. I don't know how they could think all of a sudden they're still the Bills. They have to win something. Otherwise, there's always going to be the Bills to us, blowing it, choking it any way they can.
Don't say blowing and choking right after the dildo comment.
Borderline erotic.
Hashtag.
I do see where King's coming from, because it was just last year, I think Mahomes threw five touchdowns in like half of his games. And a good chunk of those, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter, really.
Yeah.
This year, he didn't quite have those, you know, ridiculous numbers. I think he was still, was he second in yards? And like third in touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he's in just getting zero love. And they, like you said, they don't have a wide receiver too. You know, Pringle played pretty good in that game, but they don't have any go-to outside of Tyreek and Kelsey.
Well, like, and there's a gambling podcast that I'll listen to every once in a while. And Hartman, I don't listen Hartman's to it religiously. Pretty good. But they were talking about Kansas City and Buffalo when I was listening to it yesterday. And they were like, well, I mean, the clear advantage at quarterback is Josh Allen. And they're like, it's not just that he's been the better quarterback for the last 2 years. It's that he's been overwhelmingly the better quarterback in each of the last 2 years.
What are we talking about?
And so I know he has more rushing yards. I do yeah, get
who
it.
Who cares?
But I
Mahomes could, I just if looked, you wanted to.
I just looked at the stats and I'm like, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, interceptions. Mahomes is better in all, and I'm not saying he's thrown like 22 more touchdowns, but he's better in those. And the rushing thing cracks me up because I think the stat was, oh man, what was it? Kyler Murray is looked at as like this rushing god, right? But this year he has like 28 more yards rushing than Mahomes. Oh, Mahomes man. Just does it differently. He's got a dump truck for a butt, weird thighs, and he just kind of waddles. But he waddles yeah. for like weird 13-yard gains on third and four.
Successfully, yeah.
And he just runs out of bounds. They're boring. They're not exciting. Okay, I got to stop because I know I sound terrible.
No, we're agreeing with you.
Persecuted Chiefs fan. I know.
See, I think it's less of – I'm on the other side of that they're blowing up the Bills so much. Look at the Bills this year. They beat the Chiefs early when the Chiefs were
killed them,
struggling.
Killed them,
yeah.
Struggling.
Totally different.
Outside of that, I think the only playoff team, actually only like good team they beat, was the end of the year, or not end of the year, but week 14. They beat the Patriots. That was it. They lost to Tampa. They lost to the Colts. They lost to Tennessee. Looking at their schedule, I didn't see – there's almost no quality wins this year for them. They beat all the shitty teams. They did that very well. But I do not get the hype up for the Bills. And I listen to a gambling podcast as well, and they are all over the Chiefs this week because they think the line – they think people are going to keep hammering the Bills line down. That's going to be almost a pick 'em. So I – this week, you know – Oregon Lottery moving to DraftKings now. Sponsor us, DraftKings. You gave McAfee $350 million. Throw a little our way. But this weekend I'm hammering the Chiefs and I'm hammering the over in that game.
Speaking of picks, real quick, we never did like finalize our picks.
No, I won. That's all you need to know.
Oh yeah, cool story. All right. Yeah, all right, I won. Cool. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You, by the way, you mentioned Kyler Murray earlier. Like, have you guys seen like the tweets that have been going out and the information about like how bad Cliff Kingsbury is at the end of football seasons? Like,
and
the way it goes back to college too. Actually, like one of my buddies he'll bring it up every single year. And it's not something that like anybody else I had ever really seen talk about. I was like, yeah, he collapses, whatever. But then somebody actually put out like the numbers of how bad he is the second half of seasons. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, Arizona was the best team in the NFL the first half of the season, and then just rails. Like,
D-Hop
getting hurt sucks. Yeah. It does. Like, it'll hurt.
But they're kind of like they're kind of like the Chiefs, where they didn't really have a great number two. I mean,
yeah.
Outside of him, they had a bunch of number
sort of a running game. Like, Connor has been good. He killed the Niners.
Scored a lot of touchdowns.
So I shouldn't say that. Yeah, but. So I'm gonna go through it. I have the list in front of me. So with Arizona, his last three seasons, lost his last 5 of 6, lost his last 5 of 7, lost his last 7 of 9. Those are his three seasons with the Cardinals. At Texas Tech, lost 5 of 5, lost 6 of 8, lost 6 of 8, lost 4 of 6, 4 of 6, 5 of 6. That's a trend, motherfuckers. Like, I don't know how you stop something like that, but I'm glad to see it happening because they are in the NFC best, and it's nice when my team goes the opposite direction at the end of a season. So
there were a lot of people all over Arizona in that game against the Rams before it. A lot of people loved Arizona, and they just forget the last week of the season. They got beat the shit out of them by the Seahawks.
Yeah. Detroit shit all over him too, by the way.
Yeah.
Worth noting.
It's like it jumps to the playoffs and all of a sudden people are like, oh, we'll forget the end of the season actually happened. New slate. Right.
Like there's like two rules. Never bet on the Rams, but never bet on Arizona. Like ever. So like which one's gonna outweigh the other one? Arizona. Always.
Like I was reading something, I think it was going into week 18. God, that sounds weird to say. But they were talking about like Kingsbury and it was one of those analytic nerd things where they were kind of doing the sting where they were charting sets and plays out of sets. It's not perfect, but it's a model, you know? And they were just kind of saying like, does he not run? It's almost like the Chip Kelly thing where does he not run enough like different plays to where it's great in the beginning, but then all of a sudden, and they didn't have an answer. There was no like nerdy answer like, oh, they dropped a safety. Their hypothesis is just like he runs 9 plays out of 7 sets and Andy Reid runs 87 plays out of 20 sets. Some of them are bad. Some of them are intentionally bad, but all of Kingsbury's are meant to hit. And that's not really
helpful. And he runs, it's the Chip Kelly thing. Like you said, it's running the same play over and over again. And your idea is to wear down the other team. And that's not how the NFL works.
No.
So that's why Chip failed in the NFL. That's why Kingsbury sucks too. My game was fantastic.
That was a good game.
The way San Francisco came out on the opening drive and just shoved the ball down their throats and scored a touchdown was really nice to watch. They completely dominated the game for 3 quarters. Like they really did. Like they should have been leading by more. Like Dallas should not have been close, but of course they let him back in the game in the fourth quarter. And the ending to that game was so satisfying. I was legitimately nervous. Like, you know, the 6-point lead, like Dallas had to score a touchdown. Essentially Green Bay did this to San Francisco earlier in the season where, remember, Jimmy like led them to a touchdown at the end. They took the lead. Aaron Rodgers had like 25 seconds and no timeouts, but got them in field goal range to win the game. And so I'm like, you know, I've seen this, literally seen this happen before. They needed a touchdown, which is different, but Dak running out the clock, the way he like the post game press conference where he like praised fans for throwing shit at the refs when they were running off the field, when the entire situation was his fault. Like one, obviously. So this has been said by a bunch.
But like, I've seen more go on McCarthy than Dak there for that final play.
So there's checks and balances. Like it's Dak on the field. It's Kellen Moore calling the play. It's McCarthy saying okay to the play. And then it's Dak executing the play. And Dak, you know, his after the game comments saying that, you know, praising fans for throwing shit at the officials. Like to run the ball in the first place is dumb. To not get up and give the ball to the official is dumb because that's been. Since Pop Warner, the ref spots the ball every single play. Like it's football. Like you've never played football before. And the fact that he's like, yeah, we practice that every day, like blah, blah, blah. If you practice it every day, I guarantee you don't hand the ball to your fucking center. Like don't be stupid, man. And then don't act like we're stupid and you didn't fuck up. Like we saw you fuck up. Like own it. Don't put it on other people, man. You're the idiot here. And just something I learned after that game is how much everybody doesn't like Dallas. Like people were unified in just dumping on the Cowboys after that game.
No, the amount of memes going around, Stephen A.
memes
Smith.
Going around from people who like have no rooting interest for either team. And they're just like, yeah, fuck Dallas. Yeah, I'll share this. It was great. It was great. Like 12-year-old Alex, who watched the last time these two teams played in the playoffs, 12-year-old Alex was like really loving life. It was fun. It was fun game.
I know current Alex had him getting a little worried when Carson Garoppolo showed up in the third quarter there to start making that a little more interesting than it should have been.
Oh my God,
Jimmy Dubs!
Yeah, right.
He got away with a couple too that should have been picked.
Yeah,
yes, he did. Before he got picked, he got away with one that should have been picked.
We've talked about this before,
and then he missed like a 25-yard chunk play.
The play to Ayuk. Like he had the incompletion to Ayuk where he was like wide open. We've talked about this before. Like injured Jimmy is trash. Like he just is. Like regular Jimmy's like okay. Like he's middle of the road, decent quarterback who can put up good numbers every once in a while. You know, hand the ball off to Devo. Do your job. Hand the ball off to your wide receiver. But hurt Jimmy sucks. And apparently, because his thumb was injured, he got tackled, like thrown to the ground, and didn't want to land on his thumb. So he stuck his arm out and then like sprained his throwing shoulder. And so the whole second half, he's playing with a sprained throwing shoulder and throwing horrible fucking passes. That's why, like, that's not why. Maybe it's mostly why, probably. He was so bad in the second half. It's like, fuck, man. Like, if you were hurt, get off the field. Like, stop playing. Like, you're like injured.
Are you trusting?
Is established as terrible. Stop playing. That's why. That's why the Niners traded three picks for that fucking kid.
Are you trusting Trey Lance to come in the second half over Jimmy Hurt?
Would you rather have Jimmy Hurt? Healthy Trey Lance? Yeah. Yes. But especially the way, like, I mean, obviously the results are easy to support that argument with because Jimmy was terrible. He had like three completions in the whole second half or something and the pick and just, yeah. Yeah, I do. You know what? Like he can complete screen passes to Debo. You know what I mean? Like he can throw. I've seen like the game he played against Houston. He was great. I want to see that. That's what I want to see. Instead of an injured Jimmy Garoppolo with his arm falling off of his body, trying to complete passes to the other team. I like Jimmy. I'm happy he's healthy and he's going to play.
You love him
Green
like
Bay.
A firstborn child.
I would prefer it. Okay.
Did you see the TV ratings for Niners Cowboys?
It was very high.
50 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Did you see Troy Aikman's comment?
I did.
That was great.
I did.
Ian Buck doing the blowout in Tampa. And he's like, yeah, some of us would rather be calling that game.
That's a lot of people, man.
There's a lot of people.
What the I know it's a different sport. Well, it's football, but what Bama and Georgia got like 19 million people. And I know it's on cable as opposed to broadcast TV, but damn. Like,
yeah.
The jump from 50 to from 20 to 50 is pretty substantial.
All right, we should talk
about a couple million. It wasn't a couple million. It was
And the funny thing
two and
is,
a half times
is they were like, "Oh my god, Pittsburgh and Kansas City had the highest rated primetime Sunday night viewing in 3 years, like 31 million. Mm-hmm. They're like Dallas and San Francisco, 50.
So jeez, many people.
Our country has a very unhealthy addiction to the the sport of the NFL.
It's that same 90s nostalgia that they got with the Bills, man.
I mean, and I hate to break it to the Trumpers, but I don't think they killed the NFL.
Remember
I think
it's when doing, he said that?
I think it's doing just fine.
It took 1 year for people to forget that they they hate the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. It took a non-election year.
Oh,
for
I forgot.
To remember, yeah.
I forgot that he said we're supposed to hate them now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk. Let's talk Ducks basketball.
I want to stay on NFL for real quick here. We brought up all these teams here, but has anyone been talking about the Titans at all?
Who cares?
They were they're number one seed.
They are. And they're getting Derrick Henry back.
And they're going to be the healthiest they've probably been in half the season. And they're not getting talked about at all.
Yeah, because Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback.
They were one seed still. He got him the one seed. He got him a bye.
Who would you rather have, Tannehill or Garoppolo? Healthy Garoppolo.
Give me Tannehill.
Tannehill over Garoppolo? Healthy?
Ooh. Give me Tannehill. Give me Tannehill over King's QB, too.
Yes. Mike Greenberg's chart. Yeah. Quarterbacks, man. I trust more. Ryan Tannehill. Yeah.
Man, I was ready to argue with you. Now I'm not. Now I know you were lying. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, Tannehill. Josh Allen's just a young Tannehill, isn't he?
Wow.
No, Tannehill was the original Josh Allen, right? Isn't that what you're saying? Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
So I before we get off the NFL, there are four teams remaining in the AFC. My team is 0-3 against them. So all I'm saying is that even though they've made three straight AFCs, championship games, two straight Super Bowls, and they've won a Super Bowl, are the Kansas City Chiefs the biggest underdog in the history of the divisional round of the NFL? That's all I'm asking. I'm
surprised they're even in the playoffs, man.
I mean, the Bills killed them. Titans killed them. Bengals came back from like 17 down. I don't know if they could beat any of them.
Well, they're not because, you know, go to DraftKings. DraftKings sponsor us again. The Titans were the third long shot to win the Super Bowl out of all the teams. Third long shot. You can still get like 9-1 on them winning the fucking Super Bowl. And they play the fucking Bengals this week.
We just don't like watching them play. That's what DraftKings is telling you.
Yes. That is exactly what.
We just don't want to see them play.
No, they don't. And which is crazy because, you know, they have weapons. I mean, Julio Jones and AJ Brown. I mean, Derek
Jones. I think Julio might be bad though.
Yeah, let's not put Julio in that conversation.
But A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry are...
Yes. I mean, they have entertaining players. But I do agree. I think it's part Vrabel and part just... They score points, too. They're just somehow not fun to watch.
They're the Titans.
It's just watch a Titans game.
Yeah.
From Steve McNair to Scott Volek to Kerry Collins to Marcus Mariota... to Ryan Tannehill. Just watch a Titans game. Their broadcast looks exactly the same now at Nissan Stadium as it did in like 1999 when Steve McNair brought them to a Super Bowl. There's just like a weird, there's like a haze or a film like in the air in Nashville, and their turf, whether it's September or January, is always chewed up. And there's, you can always look, if you look close, it could be the first game of the year in September. And if you look in the end zone, it'll say Music City Bowl, Illinois, and then Mizzou. Yep. It's a gross place to watch a game. Everything, the aesthetics are bad. The stadium, when they do the aerial, it looks like it has tetanus. Everything about a Titans game is aesthetically awful.
Yeah.
That's why their odds are bad. We don't want to watch them play. Get them out of here. I didn't even want to watch him play when Mariota was there.
Aren't you glad Mariota's gone at least? Oh, no. I'm so glad. You don't have to see it all on Twitter. Like,
no, I don't have to see CBS play freaking Titans games. Oh, my goodness. Ugh, Nashville. I hear Nashville's a great city. I just feel like there's something over the stadium. There's just like the fog man just lays over Nissan Stadium.
Just that Nashville, like hot chicken, like it gets cooked and just like goes up into the air. And just,
yeah, they
like,
just don't have like a kitchen vent over the stadium. Yeah, there's just always like a greasy film over everything. They can change their helmets from white to navy. Everything just looks dingy. Like, I guarantee you can still see something in the end zone that says, you know, Volunteers Music City Bowl when they play this Sunday.
There really are a few teams in the NFL that I don't want to watch ever, and they're definitely one of them.
Yes,
and again I bring it up, it's weird because they should be entertaining to watch. That the best running back in football, and you know, a freak in AJ Brown, it just doesn't make sense,
and yet they're not.
And yet they're not. Yeah.
Speaking of teams that are fun to watch suddenly, Oregon Transit. Basketball, men's and women's. Let's go. What a historic weekend.
We're
men
back.
Men beat 3-5. The women beat 7-9. UConn, get the hell out of here. Arizona's coach is going crazy, and their players are making up stories.
That's
good stuff.
Weird, wild stuff.
Oh, weird, wild weekend.
The Arizona coach, this is like the second time she has flipped somebody off, right? Like, I remember I was reading a story about, you know, how Kelly Graves commented on it, because I guess during the game there was some back and forth between her and Kelly Graves, where the her player says Kelly Graves was like cussing at her and using a bunch of like horrible words or whatever, and yeah, vulgar language. And
one, like telling her to sit the fuck down, maybe, like at worst.
One, I don't believe it. I don't, because anybody who has ever heard Kelly Graves talk or like seen him talk, I believe he says curse words. I don't believe he would say curse words on the court because people would hear it. Because I don't know if you've ever watched a Duck broadcast, but the way like the court is and the way they have mics and stuff set up, you can hear the coaches talk
all the time
on TV,
TV and radio.
You can hear all of it. And so if Kelly Graves is over there like cursing at her across the way, you would hear it. There would be somebody would have had audio of it at some point on something.
A cell phone. Someone would have just took out their cell phone.
It didn't happen. And her coach is so embarrassing that she feels the need to stick up on for her on Twitter and just make up a fucking story. And maybe Kelly did say something to her. Maybe he did, like, you know, benefit of the doubt, whatever. Like, we're saying that your coach, who actually has a track record of this, isn't at fault. Like, that's what we're saying.
See, can we go like deep sociology here?
Ooh, okay.
True equality, a man in women's basketball telling a woman coach in women's basketball to shut the fuck up and sit down? Isn't that true equality?
Yeah. Don't you want that?
Don't you want that? I'm kidding a little bit.
But the
whole thing, it didn't happen. Like, they lost a tough game. They were upset. I get it. But you don't got to make up.
And she's a red ass, man.
And that's fine. Be a red ass. Like,
it is what it is.
And Arizona fans getting all upset. I'm like, for 30 years, your coach was Lute Olson. Yeah. And he would walk into Matt Court, and they eventually drew in coaches' boxes because dicks like him would always cross them. And he would walk over to the Oregon bench and basically sit in Ernie Kent's lap and just say, "Watch this shit, bitch." That's the guy. That was the face of your school for 3 decades. And you're mad that a coach may have told someone to shut the fuck up.
I'll say, I don't care that she flipped him off.
I don't either.
I really don't.
And he did. Kelly Graves didn't. From that night to the next day to this week, he said, "It's competition."
He's blown out of proportion.
What she did was blown out of proportion.
There's no way that would be the first time another coach has told her to sit the fuck down or shut the fuck up in a game. Yeah. There's no way.
I know we're not speaking to like the biggest women's basketball, you know, audience out there. We're not Rebecca Lobo either. But Arizona plays grasp and pull, gross, aesthetically unpleasing. They're kind of Tennessee Titans-y, where it's just, you don't want to watch them play. It's really effective, but it's gross. So you can't, when your whole game is mucking it up, don't complain when you get fouls.
Are they Syracuse of the women's game?
Kind of, but they're more physical. Syracuse can at least play passing lanes. Arizona is just 1997 bump and grind. NBA clog the lanes.
They're just bad. They're bad. They're the bad boy, bad girl.
Kinda, so. Yeah.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Like King says, it does work. It works.
Bump and grind.
With a little bump and grind. Yeah.
I see. I mean, it's clearly effective. She's taken the program out of nowhere, and they played for a title last year.
So the women beat UConn. Like, that's what we should be talking about. The women like stomped the shit out of UConn at home. After the horrible start to their season, they're all of a sudden playing really well, and then beat Arizona, top 10 team, then beat UConn, which is just, UConn's not UConn this year. They're not, but they're still,
is hurt.
But they're still UConn, and you beat UConn, and it's nice to put on the resume.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's there's 356 teams in the nation. There's only one team in women's college basketball that has a winning streak over UConn, and it's Oregon at 2.
Yep.
And if any of you guys remember that 2013 trip that UConn made when Paul Westhead was still here, and UConn beat them. UVO was terrible. They were awful.
Yeah.
And UConn won by like 49. Easy. They didn't even try. And Gino was like, holy shit, you got this gym and those practice facilities and Phil Knight and blah, 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 and you're this bad? Wow, Oregon. Yikes. Evaluate your program. Like,
also time to reevaluate the stuff that I have based on this.
Just a they're this bad.
So are you trying to say Gino created the current Oregon women's program?
I mean, Kelly Graves came. Kelly Graves came like 2 months later. So, I mean, it was one of the most. And Gino can do it. He won a million titles before that. He's won like three or four since. He can stunt on a program, but it was just so disrespectful. Where he was like, you're wasting all of this."
There are very few coaches in the history of sports that can get away with doing that, and he is one of them.
Yes. And as we wrap this one up.
Yeah, we should talk about the men's team.
And they played – USC was overrated, UCLA, whatever. Who cares?
We should also talk about Travis Dye.
Travis Dye.
Well, if it was Wilner, that Ducks didn't even win. You know, there were no fans
in
the stands, don't even count that.
So if Wilner's not going to count it, we shouldn't count
it. Nah, it doesn't count.
Okay, we base all of our opinions on Wilner.
Dana Faulkner. Yes. All over.
Yeah, Dana Faultman, exactly that. So Travis Dye enters the transfer protocol or portal. Benson, by the way,
in these unprecedented times,
Benson is going to Florida State. Ashford and DJ James going to Auburn. So those are done.
And Jason Jones.
And Jason Jones.
So Auburn won that 3-for-1.
It's the Auburn pipeline, exactly. Yes. And so Travis Dye has entered the portal.
He's in town still. There's pictures of him in town.
You get what you ask for, Duck fans on Twitter. You get what you ask for.
Hey, it sounds like he's enrolled in school. That doesn't mean he can't transfer, but it sounds like he's enrolled.
Is this a NIL move by Dye, do you think?
Has to be.
Is he chasing money? Because he could go, I'm sure if he goes to a program and say, hey, we'll give you this much money, you know, in an NIL deal. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's smart. And, you know, the links were that he might go to USC. And USC got that Stanford running back today.
Yeah. So Austin NIL Jones deal, as in come here, we'll give you money? Because he wouldn't get that here?
Who knows?
I don't think so. I think Oregon's probably geared more towards the younger kids on giving them the money, not kind of eighth-year senior guy.
I don't know. I feel the opposite.
I feel like Mississippi State would offer more to die than Oregon would.
That's fair.
Come on down to Pringle RV. We'll give you all the fixings. Come on down.
I could go to the draft. You know, that's what I thought he would do. But I wouldn't be surprised if he'll make more money going one more year of college somewhere else, and then go to the NFL.
Yeah, Oregon's NIL thing is being investigated currently.
Exactly. So maybe they're not able to get money. Yeah. Hey,
wank. Who cares?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Ooh, Mark Emmert. We're totally scared of you. Yeah.
So Dye is gone.
I think he's coming back.
Okay. So even if he doesn't, Oregon is really good at running back. So,
well, let's not go that far, but yeah.
They're fine.
They're running third. Yeah.
Byron Card good, not Card well.
So, Travis Dye, thank you for your services, I guess we should say. Dye family, Oregon legends forever and ever.
Whoa. What'd you just tell his family to do?
Hey!
Easy.
I see what you did there. This Dye news does have me feeling all sorts of feelings, though. I will say I'm getting pretty emo about it. Hey, what's our list, guys? King, you came up with the list idea. What's our list, King? God damn it.
So our list, going off the concert, I think it's in October that they dropped the lineup for yesterday and the day before. The When We Were Young concert.
Ugh. Ugh.
Oh, wow, that's quite the visceral.
The name is so stupid. Fuck off.
Isn't that like an Adele song?
Who cares?
Right. It's
terrible.
Gee, I'm by just your anger there. My God, I didn't name it. Stop yelling at me.
I told you the die news has me feeling emotional.
Okay. So going off the When We Were Young tour concert, which 15 years ago was called the Warped Tour.
Warped Tour.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was like 20 thing. Bucks to get into. Headlined by My Chemical Romance, Paramore, A Day to Believe, Avril Lavigne, Jimmy Eat World, Bright Eyes, Wolf Alice. We are doing our top three fictional pop punk emo band names.
I like this idea. Do you want to start? Who should start? I can start. I don't care.
Go for it.
I'll start. Okay. My number three fictional emo band name is the Cheese Holes. Do we have to like explain them? Because
is there cheese that you're asking for now?
The hole in the cheese is the hole in my heart. Guys, it's
Swiss. I have a partial theory to
it doesn't
how they come up with these names.
It doesn't feel Gouda, guys.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Right. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. All right. I'll go just to, you know, put that behind us here. my number three fake band name is My Bloody Mannequin. Because they're
Yeah, it could be real.
It's got to be something dark. They do love throwing blood and bloody things on inanimate objects in there. So.
It's my fake bloody mannequin, yeah.
I saw a band name in my research for this. They were called the Joan of Arcs. There were like a total of, it was something like 25 members who were at all time, like at one point in the band. 4 of the 25 were women. They were called the Joan of Arcs, and 4 of 25 members ever were women. That was fantastic.
I'll go back. That's another one of my theories, but yeah. King, go ahead.
Bands are dumb.
My number 3 pop punk emo band name. Had She Said No. Had She Said No.
Jesus, man, these are so dumb.
These are just hits coming out with hits too.
They really are.
These would be song names easily too.
My number 2 is a nod to our movie podcast that's coming out this week. This band name is the Van Damme Splits.
And I'm doing the Van Damme Splits.
I mean, really, the band name could be like Muscles from Brussels.
And it could be. I've got the muscles from Brussels.
Oh, I hate this.
Okay. All right. My number 2 here.
Please.
Second theory is that you take something, you know, light and good and pair it with something, you know, dark and bad. So my second one is Sunshine on My Coffin.
There good. Is sunshine on my coffin, yeah.
Are we sure that's not a real band name?
It easily could be.
It really could. All right, what's your 2?
My number 2 pop punk emo band name is The Flagrant Vagrants. And we're flagrantly vagrants, yeah, now.
Flagrantly vagrants.
That honestly sounds more like kind of a grungy punk, you know.
Yeah,
I think it could work for both, but
we're the flagrant vagrants, right?
They're
wearing Vans instead of Keds. You might be right.
It's a good name, though. It's a good name.
They're going to topple the patriarchy while also being the patriarchy. My number 1 Where are the white women at?
Oh, where are the white women at? Oh.
Perfect. throw a little Blazing Saddles in there.
Right.
Perfect. And all the right, fans, will have no idea what that
no idea. Is oh, either. No
we
idea.
We don't know who Mel Brooks is yet.
All right. My number one and final theory is you brought up the Joan of Arcs.
Yeah.
You take a historical person or event and you create a name. So mine is the Tiananmen Square Jamboree.
Jamboree!
But you gotta put something festive on it. That's what you do. That's what you do.
The January 6th fiesta?
Exactly. Perfect.
January 6th fiesta. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. What's your one, King?
My number one pop punk emo fictional band name is Drowned in She.
Drowned in She.
Because I drowned in She. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yes, I like it.
Okay.